Grace and peace be unto you from the one who was and who is and who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember the times before GPS? Now, GPS is helpful, but some of us can still figure out how to get lost, even with GPS. But I remember before GPS, when I was an intern in LA, and we were driving around trying to find our way around, having to stop in the middle of the road, on the side, of course, and then take those maps. Have you ever used those maps? Really, really, really big, big maps, and put it on the hood of the car, and then trying to figure out how to get to where you want to go. Now, maps are helpful, but only as long as you know two things, or maybe three. First of all, you need to know where you want to go to, right? You need to have a destination and be able to point to it in the map. This is where I want to go. But that is not helpful at all unless you know the second thing, which is where you are. You need to know and to be honest about where exactly you are in relation to the destination. And then the third one, of course, is how to get there. Now, sometimes in order to get to the destination, it's just a matter of going in a straight line. Sometimes in order to get to your destination, you have to go around some obstacles. And sometimes you even have to walk away from your destination so that then you can turn and then go back to the destination. But the point is that you need to know where you are. You need to know where you want to go. And you need to know the way. So you can be in a car with someone, driving somewhere, and you're the co-pilot, and you have the map in your hand, and you look at the map, which gives you certain, how do you call those, signposts? It gives you certain landmarks that will tell you whether you are near the destination or far from the destination. And I don't know if you have ever had the experience of having somebody driving that are certain that they know where they're going. Well, I see some of you can relate to that. And you're sitting there with a map and you're looking at it and you said, that does not look like a drugstore or that does not look like a lake. And yet they continue. I had a co-worker, retired chief of chaplains from the Navy, Pastor Ross Trower, who loved to say that sometimes experience can be overrated. He said, because experience can be 60 years of doing the wrong thing. But sometimes, after 60 years of doing things in one particular way, it is really hard to change. It is scary to admit that you don't know what you're doing. It is scary to admit that you are lost or that you're going in the wrong direction. It can be even scarier to be the person that has to tell the one driving that either they have to stop and ask for directions or that they have to listen to what you're saying. Sometimes there is no way. Sometimes you have to make the way so that you can get to the place where you're going to. Now, I think that that is what John the Baptist was doing in the gospel for today. I think that he was telling the people of Israel that they were heading in the wrong direction. You see, that word, repent, it does not just mean feel bad about the things that you have done, but it literally means turn around, a physical gesture of turning around, because you are going in the wrong direction. Now, nobody likes to hear that, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to John, because they felt that they were following their own map. They were following strictly the scriptures. How can they be wrong if they were following the scriptures literally? Well, they went wrong because they had missed the spirit of the scripture. They had missed the spirit of the law. And so God sends them John the Baptist to tell them, you have to turn around. You are heading in the wrong direction. You are lost. So I could tell you how we are called also to turn around. I could tell you how John the Baptist is also preaching to us individually in our own personal lives, asking us to turn around. But that is not the word that I've received for today. You see, there is something that the church sometimes either neglects or sometimes overdoes and does it wrong. And that is something that theologians call the prophetic dimension of the vocation of the church. So in other words, it is the church that sometimes is called to be the prophet. It is the church that sometimes is called to be John the Baptist. Now, some people sometimes take that to the extreme. Maybe I'm thinking Florida, for example, or extremists, you know, things that they confuse their own personal views with the word of God and they want to impose that on the rest of society. That is not what I'm talking about. But the church is called not to just be centered on itself and not just to be reflecting about my own personal life. How do I turn around? But the church is called to be also the prophetic voice for society and sometimes for the leaders in our society as well. Now, that's very uncomfortable. Again, it's like sitting in the car next to somebody with the map and looking around and thinking, I think we're going in the wrong direction. And you see, just by virtue of being in the car does not guarantee that you're going to get to the right direction. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought. Oh, we are children of Abraham. You know, we have received the promise. We can't go wrong. Oh, I'm a Lutheran. I'm an ELCA Lutheran, so I'm in the right church, so I can't go wrong. Oh, I'm an American. I am with the good guys. I can't do wrong. See, you can be in the right vehicle, but the vehicle, it's going in the wrong direction. And we are called to call the driver to repent, not to feel bad about what he or she is doing, but to turn around in the right direction. And how do we know we are not heading in the right direction? Well, by the different signposts that we get from the scriptures. See, there's we have the prophets. We have the scriptures. And there's this beautiful depiction in today's first reading from Isaiah, and the second half, where it says, what is the destination? The destination is called the kingdom of heaven, is what it's called here in the scriptures. That's the symbolic way of describing the destination of us as a society, as a world. That is where God wants us to go. Heaven is not up there. It's not somewhere that we go when we die. Heaven is ahead of us. So when people die, we don't say they went up. We say they went ahead of us. So it's in the front. So everything is supposed to be moving in that direction, except that we are free. We have freedom and we can turn away and go in different directions. But God does not abandon us. Always sends people to say, hey, repent, turn around. And sometimes it's us that are called to do that as a church. They are called to say, turn around, repent. And so what is the destination and what are the signposts? Well, this is beautiful mythopoetic language that is used here by Isaiah. The wolf shall live with the lamb. Imagine that. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I read of peace. I read of harmony. I read of life. Those are signposts. Those are the markers that tell us whether we are near or whether we are heading in the wrong direction. So whenever we see strife, whenever we see anybody provoking one group to go against another group, whenever we see somebody encouraging the lion to attack the lamb or the lamb to fight the lion, then we know that we are not heading in the right direction. Whenever we see one group speaking hate against another group, then we know that we are not heading in the right direction. Whenever we see one group hoarding all the resources so that the others don't have anything to eat, anything to live a dignified life of, we know that we're not heading in the right direction. Whenever we see that a society spends way more on war apparatus than on building itself, we know that we're not going in the wrong direction. And it is the uncomfortable calling of the church to pick up the map and to tell the writer, you need to ask for directions. I think that we are heading in the wrong direction. I think that we are lost. Repent. But then, there's a point at which a metaphor breaks down, at which the metaphor doesn't work anymore. And there's a surprise in this text, because when John preaches to the people, he says, the kingdom has come near. You see, it's not any longer us moving towards the kingdom, but all of a sudden it's the kingdom that is coming to us. The kingdom has come near us. Many years ago, I had the privilege of going to Mexico, to the Yucatan Peninsula, where they have those ruins there. They have the pyramids. Have any of you been there to the Chichen Itza, the pyramids? Okay, good. So then I can tell you whatever I want about that, and you won't know if it's true or not. So we were taken in a car to a forest, and it was a thick forest. The trees were not very high. That was something that impressed me. They were, I would say, like maybe even this high, little taller. But that's all you could see. You look around, and it was just trees and trees and trees. And we walked for a while with the guide, and all we could see were trees. And then we arrived at a place, and he said, stop. And then he said, look around. What do you see? We only saw trees. And then he said, turn around and take a step. And we did. And all of a sudden, there it was. There was a clearing, and there were the huge pyramids of Chichen Itza. They were right next to us. And if we had not been called to turn around and take a step, we would have totally missed them. We would have just kept wandering in the forest. So there is also that element in calling people to repent, in calling our nation, our society, to turn around and look. Because if we pay attention, we also see signs that the kingdom has drawn near. Yesterday, I was listening in NPR to a story about something terrible that happened a year ago in San Bernardino. Remember when there was a couple that walked into a center and you know what they did. I don't have to remind you. Well, in the midst of that tragedy, there were many stories. And one of them was the story of a man that when all of a sudden the attack began, he approached his coworker and he hugged her and he protected her with his body from the bullets. And as they were going down, he said, I got you. And he died. He went ahead of us. But she survived. You see, I see signs in that kindness, in that gesture of self-sacrificial love. That's a sign that the kingdom has come near. Even in silly little things, I heard the story of something that happened in Thanksgiving. I heard of a kid that called 911 on Thanksgiving Day. And when the police answered, the kid just wanted to invite the police to dinner at his home. A child shall lead them, says the prophet. Small gestures are also signposts that the kingdom is near. When you see a child that chooses, rather than crush a bug, but to actually pick it up and take it outside. Or when you see a child that sees that a little baby bird has fallen from the nest and decides to, rather than just ignore it, but to actually adopt the baby bird and help the bird. You see in that kindness and in that love that maybe the kingdom is closer than we thought. And we are called to invite people to turn around and take a step. We're called to tell people, repent. The kingdom of God has come near. Amen.